Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is on a mission trip, and as while he's on this mission trip, his first one, he leads people to the Lord. He disciples them, and he organizes them together into Bible-believing churches, and he stays with them for some time, about 14 months, and then he leaves the area. And as he leaves the area, he goes on down and kind of recoups a little bit. And then he goes on a second missionary journey. On his second missionary journey, something happens back in those churches. People in Jerusalem, the first church in downtown Jerusalem, hear about these Gentiles becoming Christians. And they're bothered a little bit about it. And some of the people are very legalistic and very Jewish. And they want to know what's going on over there in Gentile Asia Minor. So they travel over there. When they get there, Peter's there and Paul had gone on and Barnabas is there. And it becomes a very difficult time because they said that you must become a Jew to really be saved. Now, we're talking about Gentile people who were non-Jewish. And there were two things they were trying to really lay on these Gentiles. One, that the men had to be circumcised. Number two, that everyone had to keep the laws or the legislation laid down in Leviticus in the Old Testament. They got so excited about this emphasis, they even tied it to their belief. In other words, you need to believe and be circumcised, or you need to believe and keep the law. And so Paul is on his second missionary journey. He hears about this and he says, man, I've got to write a letter back to Asia Minor where these churches, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe are. And he writes a letter to the province of Galatia. And that's what we're reading, the letter to the Galatians. Last Sunday, we looked at verses 1 through 5, Paul's experience himself. And in that text, in verses 1 through 5, we noticed how irrational it is. We noticed how inexplicable it would be, how incomprehensible, verse 2, how illogical, in verse 5, to say that you have to add anything to belief to get to heaven. In other words, there's only one way to heaven. Paul said it's by faith alone, apart from works. Now, that's Paul's experience in verses 1 through 5. In this text, in verses 6 through 13, he moves from experience to the example of the Old Testament, Abraham. Now, folks, let me say something before we start. Experience is wonderful. We all experience many things. We're glad to share them. Paul did the same thing. Beloved, do not base your belief on experience. Base your belief on the Word of God. The Bible alone must be authority for our belief and our behavior. We might experience super things, and that's good. But beloved, experience again is not how we decide what is right and wrong spiritually. It's not experience. It is what God has said, the Bible, the authority of the Word of God. And so we begin by the example of Abraham. I would like for you to note, even as Abraham believed God, verse 6. Now, he's going to talk about Abraham through this whole text. Verse 7 says, now ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8 says, for the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham. The last word of verse 9, look down at your text, Abraham. Verse 14, for the blessings of Abraham. Verse 16, now to Abraham and to his seed. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, there be no more promise, but God gave it to Abraham. And verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Eight times in this text, it's going to say Abraham, by faith trusted Christ, and so he was righteous, right with God. Now, beloved, some people have a misunderstanding They'll say, we are today saved by grace. And in the Old Testament, people were saved by the law or by works. And that is wrong. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. I believe God and it was accounted unto me for righteousness. You believe God and it was accounted unto you for righteousness. Beloved, Abraham was saved the same way that you and I are saved. Belief. It's faith that he had. And that's very important for us. Saints of the Old Testament were saved the same way the saints of the New Testament were saved and the way that you and I are saved. And so he turns to Father Abraham, to the Jewish people. Abraham was very, very special. He was number one in their history book. He was number one in their life. And so when Paul picked Abraham as a good example of faith, he picked the right one for these Jewish people. Let me say one more thing before we start. The first verse is a quote from the Old Testament. Remember I said that our experience is wonderful, but nothing can compare to the Word of God? He uses the example of Abraham and he quotes from the Old Testament. In our text, there are five quotations from the Old Testament. Now, folks, positive, without a question, he begins here. Positive proof. Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so we begin with Abraham's example. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This text is quoted from Genesis chapter 12. God tells Abraham, you're going to have children. Sarah's very old. So the time goes by, and after some period of time, Abraham begins to wonder, Sarah's getting old, and I'm not getting any younger, and we're not having any children. And so he asks God in chapter 12, what's going to happen here? How's this thing going to take place? And God says, come here. Takes him outside. And he says, Abraham, look over those stars. And God says, you're going to have children, descendants, like those stars, more than those stars. And that's when Abraham said, I believe. And the text says, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You see, Abraham believed God. This morning, the only way you're going to get to heaven is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is by faith, exercising trust in him. Someone would come along and say, yeah, but wasn't Abraham's circumcision that which affected him tremendously? The Jewish people who had come from Jerusalem certainly said, yeah, no. It was Abraham's circumcision. We won't look at it now, but the text here, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, is in chapter 12. And it's in chapter 17 when God said, you need to be circumcised. It happened 14 years later. When he was circumcised, it wasn't belief and circumcision that saved Abraham. It was belief. And it was 14 years later, he was obedient to what God wanted him to do. You must separate salvation by faith from the works that will follow when you're truly saved. You're saved by faith alone apart from works. But if you're really saved, works will follow. He was saved by his faith. 14 years later, he was obedient and he was circumcised. Some Jewish people would certainly have said, oh, it must have been his belief and his keeping of the law. Beloved, wait a minute. The law wasn't even given for 450 years. He did not believe and keep the law. He didn't even have the law. It was 450 years later that the law was given to Moses. And so you must, by faith alone, realize he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Those people had reversed circumcision and salvation. Circumcision was a mark, not a means of salvation. And folks, today we have people who reverse the rite of baptism. Baptism is simply a mark, not a means of salvation. You are baptized because you are saved. you're not baptized to be saved. And as a believer, we need to be obedient. As Abraham was obedient 14 years later and was circumcised, we need to be obedient after we believe also and to be baptized. We'll not read the text, but I want to remind you that Abraham lived in the area of modern day Iraq. And when he lived over there, God spoke to his heart and said, you need to follow me all the way to a foreign land far away. That's not easy today, but it was a lot harder in that day. And Abraham left everything that was familiar to him and his family and his friends. And by faith, Hebrews 11 says he followed God. Beloved, that's the kind of faith we need to have. Faith, even though we may not understand the future totally, maybe that we don't have a full comprehension of what God wants for us, but we just believe God and trust Him from the most. My, when God asked him to provide a sacrifice, and I don't understand all the dynamics of this, God said, I'm going to give you a son. God gave him the son. God says, I want you to give a sacrifice. Abraham didn't have a sacrifice and was willing to sacrifice his own son. And when he lifted that dagger up and the sun glistened off from it, there was obedience in the heart of Abraham that God saw because of his faith that God would provide a sacrifice. God stopped him, said, no, you have the faith, and that's what I want. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Folks, you understand what it means to reckon or to account. On one side is the debit column. On the other side is the credit column. Let me say, on one side is the amount of money that comes in. On the other side is the amount of money that goes out. On one side is all the bad things that we've done. And on the other side is the good thing, the great thing that Christ did on the cross. And when you read those words, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, God the Father placed His righteousness underneath Abraham's name. The Apostle Paul said that when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the righteousness of Christ is placed over all the bad things that we have done. It's placed on our account, reckoned for righteousness. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted, it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Those Jewish people thought the only way you could ever have Abraham as your father, you could be a, quote, child of Abraham, was through physical birth. And Paul says, no, you're wrong. You can be a child of Abraham by being a child of God, by being born again. Folks, you must be born again. Again, is the way you become right with God. It's the way you have a relationship with God. He begins by saying in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the ones who are the children of Abraham. Again, faith is the key. I remind you of the very familiar verse of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's how you have a relationship with the Lord. Faith is the key. And so sharing Abraham's faith is the only way to share the blessings of Abraham, to be a part of Abraham's family. A true descendant of Abraham is one who puts faith in the Lord the same way that Abraham did. Paul said it the same way to the church at Rome. He says in Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, really circumcision, which is outward of the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit. It's not the letter, by doing something ritual or routine. That's the praise of men, not of God. And so he says, look, he says the real relationship comes by faith alone, apart from works. Back to Galatians chapter 3. In verse 8, he quotes again from the Old Testament. This time he's going to quote in verse 8 from Genesis chapter 12. And he's going to quote verse 3. And in verses 8 and 9, we have this tremendous text about the blessing that you have if you are by faith related to Abraham. It says the Scripture saw ahead of time that we as Gentiles would be saved by faith. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify we as Gentiles through faith, proclaimed it unto Abraham. Beloved, Abraham lived before the Scriptures were written. God spoke to Abraham and said, it's by faith. Gentiles will be saved by faith. And so we see the word Scripture is identical with God's Word. The Word of God and the Scriptures are the same. Beloved, what you and I hold in our hand is called the Scriptures. And here, the word is used identical. It is the same as God speaking. Beloved, when you read this, it is God speaking. This is the authoritative Word of God. That's why we study it word for word. Because this Bible, this Scripture, is God's Word. You hold in your hands, you have in your lap this morning, the Word of God. The Bible is God's Word. And so the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I've got to stop just for a moment and say thank you, Lord. Because we are considered heathen. The text says it is another word for nations, or the other word is for Gentiles. That we as Gentiles will be saved by faith. If you died today, are you sure that you're going to go to heaven? You are a Gentile. I am a Gentile. The only way we can be saved is by faith. The text says that God would justify the heathen Gentiles through faith. So it's through your faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross, that you're a sinner. He paid the price for your sins on the cross and receive Him this morning as your Savior. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. That's the only way. When you read that word justify, it means to be declared guiltless. You know, the things that I have thought, even things that I have done, words that I have said, God says, Larry, I will declare you not guilty for all of them because of your faith in my Son. To be just as if we had never sinned, declared innocent, guiltless, and it's only by faith. We have a baptismal tank behind us, and this week or so ago, there's a good number of folks who were baptized. And that water of baptism did not take away one sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Tonight is the Lord's table. We are going to receive bread, and we're going to receive the juice. It will not be changed into the literal blood or the literal body. You will not take the Lord Jesus into your body tonight. You take Him into your heart by faith. That's how we are justified. And this was preached as gospel unto Abraham. The word preached is the word proclaimed. Is to strongly announce. This morning we are preaching, we are strongly proclaiming. And so it was strongly proclaimed to Abraham that Gentiles would be saved by faith. And that is called the gospel. That's good news. The little boy stands on the street corner and he's got a newspaper this morning that says Red Sox won last night. That was good news for some people. And so because it was good news, the young boy can stand on the street corner and wave the paper and say, good news, good news, good news. Beloved, God told Abraham that you and I would be saved by faith. That's good news. It's bad news to say that you're saved by faith and baptism. It's bad news to say you're saved by faith and not taking communion or confirmation. That's bad news. It's good news that we are saved by our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the finished work of Christ on the cross. The last part of verse 8 and verse 9 ties together. For in verse 8, the quotation from Genesis 12 says, "In thee all nations shall be blessed." Verse 9, "So then they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Again, this is a quotation from the Old Testament. I am blessed this morning because Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, and my Savior, the Lord Jesus, came from that family. Do you understand that? And that's a wonderful thought. I am thankful to the Jewish people for, one, a testimony of monotheism, one God. Number two, I am thankful to the Jewish people because they are the ones that recorded and preserved the Bible, the Word of God. Number three, I am thankful to the Jewish people because God chose them to be the family, the lineage for my Savior to be born. But that's not the blessing that's emphasized here. The blessing here is tied to Abraham's announcement by God that Gentiles are saved by faith. That, beloved, is a blessing. That's the blessing that's the context. In these shall all nations be blessed, and they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see, we are blessed because to get saved, it's not the works that we do, it's our faith in Christ that saves us. Beloved, that's a blessing. Do you realize the guilt trip that you and I would be on if we had to work our way to heaven? And he says, wait a minute, I got a blessing for you. You're saved the same way that Abraham was saved, by faith. Wow, what a blessing to know that my sins are buried in the deepest sea. They're taken as far as the east is from the west. That I am declared righteous, that I am declared just, that I am declared innocent and guiltless before God because of my faith in Him. That's good news. What a blessing that is. I want to stop and just sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. It isn't because I gave a lot of money. It isn't because I got baptized. It isn't because I joined the church. What a blessing it is that we can come by faith alone, apart from works, and trust Christ. We gave a positive proof in verses 6 through 9, and I want to close with just a negative note. The emphasis has been a positive proof and now a negative note, and that is verse 10. So just join me for a moment, and we'll not be long. Verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Whoa! Are you kidding? These Jewish people have come all the way from Jerusalem, and they really believe that the law is awesome. And then they really believe they should keep the law. And Paul writes this letter to this church in the province of Rome, the province of Galatia, and says that the law brings a curse. And they read it, man, they're ticked. I mean, they're blown away. They cannot believe that Paul would write and say that there's a curse connected to the law. The text says, "For as many as are of the works of the law, who try to work to keep the law, are under a curse." Do you realize what a curse is? Divine judgment. A curse is to stand in the bullseye of God's wrath. And the text says, if you think that the works of the law are going to save you, you're under a curse. Divine judgment. How? Because, and he quotes from the Old Testament, "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." You see what the curse is? The curse is, if you don't keep all the law, you break all the law. If you don't in every small, tiniest, littlest thing keep the law, you're going to pay the curse. You're going to pay the results of that. Beloved, cursed is everyone. None is able to keep the law. That continueth not in all the things, that is without exception, and no one has the ability. No one can live up to the standards of the law. The law demands perfection. You can't disregard any part of it, which are written in the books of the law to do them. And so, beloved, if a man will not come to Christ by faith alone, apart from works, he will be judged by how far he
falls short of measuring God's perfection
and be condemned because all have sinned and come short. Paul said the law, the commandment, which was to result in life, proved to be death for me.
Folks, listen. You cannot work your way to heaven. It'll result in your eternal separation from God. All the good things that you can do cannot measure up to the one great thing Christ did on the cross.
But I like verse 11. For no man is justified by the law in sight of God.
You know how many that includes?
No man. Not one person can be justified by the things that they do. That includes baptism. That includes communion. That includes membership. That includes all the good things that you could do in your life. Not one person is justified in the sight of God. And beloved, when you think of those words, no man is justified by the good works that he does in the sight of God, you need a picture portrayed for us in Revelation. And that is the picture of a person standing in a courtroom. And that, beloved, courtroom is heaven. And the court is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And there are three books there. And God reaches out and takes the first book. It's His beloved Son's book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And it goes down through the list of names. And your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He reaches back and He takes another book. It's called the Book of Life. And everyone who's ever lived, name is written in the Book of Life. And He comes down to where your name would be and it's rubbed out. And He picks a third book. It's called the Book of Works, of all the bad things that we've ever done. And He comes down and He sees your name and listed underneath it as every bad thought and every bad word and every bad action. Every place that we've fallen short of the law of God. And beloved, He stands there and He says, your name's not in the Book of Life. It's been rubbed out. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is in this Book of Works and here's all the bad things you've done. And the King of Kings, God, sitting on the Great White Throne Judgment says, depart from me. I've never known you. Beloved, no man is justified by the law. The just shall live by faith. The only way you're ever going to live eternally is by faith in Jesus Christ. Beloved, the last part of verse 12 simply says, the law is not faith, beloved. You cannot tie faith and works together. They're as opposite as black and white. Faith excludes the law. Grace excludes works for your salvation. Belief excludes baptism for your salvation. Belief excludes confirmation for your salvation. Beloved, belief and faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation is the only way to heaven. Let's bow our heads.